Hear NFL legends, players, coaches, and media members from around the country sharing their insights and stories with us year-round. Here on Thursday Night, Tailgate.
All right, now back with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is former Denver Broncos wide receiver Rick Upchurch. Let me remind you about Rick's background. He's from Toledo, Ohio, played his college ball first at Indian Hills Junior College, where he earned back-to-back All-American honors as a wide receiver, halfback, and kick returner. He then transferred to the University of Minnesota and played there in 1973 and 74 and was named second team All-Big Ten. He led the team in rushing and scoring both years. Plus, he led them in receptions in 1974, and he set a school record for most return yards in a season. He still ranked 17th all-time in rushing yards, even though he was only there for two seasons. He was a fourth-round draft pick by the Denver Broncos in 1975, and he played in the league from 75 to 83, all in Denver. He was selected to the Pro Bowl four times in 1976, 78, 79, and 82, set a league record for punt return touchdowns with four in 1976. Over the course of his career, he had just over 10,000 all-purpose yards, and he was named to the Team of the Decade for both the 1970s and 1980s, was a member of the Broncos' 50th anniversary team, and he's in the Ring of Honor, and we're honored to have him back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Rick, Chris, and Bob, thanks for coming back on the show.
Hi, Rick.
Hey, Chris and Bob, thank you very much for having me on the show, guys.
Our pleasure.
So, Rick, we're a few weeks north of this year's Hall of Fame inductions, and I was reading MileHighSports.com recently did an article about you and how you deserve to be in Canton. Certainly a player who was named to two all-decade teams and was named one of the top 300 players of all time. Seems like a guy who should be in Canton. When you see guys like Jerry Kramer finally getting, you know, his recognition that was long overdue, do you think there's an opportunity that might do the same for you?
Well, you know, the first thing, I don't understand what criteria they use as far as voting is concerned, because when I look at LC Greenwood, who played on four, you know, Super Bowl teams and was one of the most devastating defensive ends at that particular time on a four-time Super Bowl winning team. And, you know, you don't get LC Greenwood into the Hall of Fame. You know, I don't put much into it. I just don't, because I don't know what criteria that they're using. I mean, to make two all-decade teams, and that whole deal, there's a bunch of guys that have made decade teams that aren't in as well. And they're certainly not looking at, you know, special team players. You know, they're not looking at Steve Tasker. They're not looking at Brian Mitchell. They're not looking at Eric Metcalf, Billy White, Steve Johnson. So I don't know what their criteria is or what problem they have with guys that play on special teams that do the same thing as a quarterback does when they set records, right? They set standards for the kids coming in. But yet, when we set standards, it doesn't mean as much.
That is sort of a head-scratcher for us. Why do you think special teams doesn't get the love it deserves?
Well, I think that they believe that we don't spend enough time or get enough snaps, you know, on the field, like a quarterback or a running back. I must say this. The years that we went to the Super Bowl, I in the league with 600, and that meant that our offense, man, was always, man, in position to be able to move the ball and get points. And when you're talking about leading the league with 653 yards in that deal, that means that we had an impact. That's 653 yards that our offense didn't have to pick up, right? So I'm just saying that they might be saying, well, you guys don't get enough snaps. You're not that important. But, man, when you miss a field goal, I mean, we talk about the kid, Mr. Norwood from Buffalo, right? He went wide right?
Yep.
Otherwise, Buffalo wins that game, right? So special teams can either win a game for you or it can lose a game for you. It can win a Super Bowl for you or it can lose a Super Bowl for you. You block a field goal. You block a punt. You return a kickoff. Those are dynamic. Those are game-changing and momentum-changing for your team. I know, because I had an opportunity to do it. So I don't understand. I don't know what their criteria is. I don't understand why they're not. I don't know if they're waiting for Devin Hester. But I think there's some other guys, man, way before Devin Hester that need to go in. And the first one I think that should go in is Brian Mitchell. Brian Mitchell, 23,000 yards, second to Jerry Rice. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah, agreed. And that's something Bob has been lobbying for years. And Rick, I saw a picture of you online sort of getting into it a little bit with Raiders defensive tackle John Matuszak, and he looked like he was about 2 feet taller than you and outweighed you by about 100 pounds. So I imagine whatever he did to rile you up had to be pretty bad for you to be willing to take him on. Do you remember what that was?
Well, let me tell you. You know, the Raiders, Bronco, and then back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and especially back when we got together, when I got there in 1975, it was really intense because we hadn't beat them, I think, in like, you know, 13 games or something like that. And so I didn't know much about the rivalry. And then the first game, I found out about the rivalry and what it was all about. But the thing about it is that Tom Jackson, you know, Lyle Alzado and all those guys were trying to tell us that this is a fierce, intense thing and don't take anything from anybody. Well, you know, they didn't say not pick on a guy that's 6'8" and about 300 pounds. But you know what? The intensity of the game, all you're saying to yourself is, I don't care who you are. You don't know where I come from. I come from a place where they'll pull a gun and a knife on you and threaten your life. So I'm not really worried about you. The only thing I know is that don't push my face down on the ground when you tackle me and add some stuff to it. You know what I'm saying? So, hey, man, in that rivalry, man, I don't care who you are or what size you are. It doesn't make any difference to me.
Five questions for Rick.
Great to speak with you again, Rick. And we talked in the past about some of the coaches you had, and you played for three different ones at Denver, and your first was John Ralston, one of the old AFC coaches that I don't think got a lot of credit back then. You guys did improve under him, and 76, you had a very good year, but he just turned 91 years old, Rick. What are your memories of John Ralston?
Well, I remember John. Once again, he drafted me out of the University of Minnesota. I know that John was just a very good person, had a great heart. He was someone that you could sit down and talk to. John was a motivator, no ifs, ands, or buts about it, and he also understood talent. And so when you would go in and sit down with him, you could get comfortable with him, and he would look you in the eye, and you knew you were talking to somebody that would be truthful to you and give you the straight business. And I also remember that he was a guy, man, that he understood talent, but when it came to the X's and O's, he wasn't that well versed on it in that whole deal. Once again, that's why working with his offensive coordinators and that whole deal, I think he needed to get better at that, just my opinion. But outside of that, he knew how to build a team.
And Rick, we talked about your return prowess in the past, but that up until like 1978, 79, pretty much that's what you did. But then in 79, you were thrown to a lot as a wide receiver and almost had a 1,000-yard season. What was the main difference between 79 and before, Rick, how you became such a go-to receiver at that point?
Well, you know, let me give you the story. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys remember in my first game, I had my very first game, my debut game, I had 284 yards and two touchdowns. Now, I came in behind because Haven Moses, he got his face mask blown up and he was out of the game. And so I had to come in as a rookie and start. You know, I catch three balls, I won 90 yards, and I go for 153 yards. This is my very first game. Then I come back against Oakland and I go for 240 yards. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. I think it's because Haven Moses and Jack Dalvin, and they felt like I was more valuable on the kick and punt return. They needed somebody to give Billy Thompson a relief off of that. But then they continued to spot me and put me into the game until 1979. So I think they felt like I was, you know, more valuable as a kick returner at that time for the team.
And Rick, talking about Haven Moses, he was a guy that I enjoyed watching right along with you. I thought, boy, what a tandem these guys would make. And I was just curious to get your memories of being alongside Haven.
Oh, Haven was just a great teammate, great leader. He worked with all of us. He worked with me as a rookie, and he was my roommate. Just a wonderful guy, man. He'd invite everybody over to his house. He was a true leader, man. That's all I know about Haven. And he was a stylish guy as well. He made sure that we were neat, and we made sure when we went out that we were proper and we treated people with decency. And that's what he demanded of us as one of the top guys on the team at that time.
And Rick, fast forwarding years later, the Broncos inducted you into their Hall of Fame back in 2014. What was it like being recognized by the Broncos organization and the Broncos fans like that?
Well, very thankful. You know, once again, when you come into the league, you don't say, well, I'm going to, you know, be in this or that or the other. Those are your hopes. Only thing I know is that you go out and you play the game hard. You try to be a great teammate and you try to do all the things right. And, you know, you go out and all of the things that you've learned all the way from, let's say, middle school, all the way up to the point where you play, you know, in the professionals, you use those things to get yourself better, understand who you are and what you are and what you want. And then you become a great teammate. Then you got guys that will step up to the plate. And man, let me tell you, when those guys believe in you, they help out on that field because it's not about just you. It's about being a great teammate and those guys working with you.
So, Rick, you got to get your thoughts on the Broncos this season. They struggled a bit last year, and now, you know, Goner, quarterbacks Trevor Siemian and Brock Osweiler, Case Keenum, now the new starting quarterback. It looks like Chad Kelly is going to be the main backup there. But talk about your thoughts on Case Keenum, what his leadership is going to be like, and what your expectations are for the Broncos this season.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, leadership in that locker room is huge. You know, once again, back in the 70s when I was playing, we went to the first Super Bowl. We had Lyle Alzado in that locker room, and you just did not mess around. When he spoke, you listened. When you had Randy Gradishaw in there, when he spoke, you listened. So we had people in the locker room, that leadership. And I think that a lot of times when you lose that leadership, you lose a lot there in the locker room. It's not so much the coach. It's certainly the coach. But boy, when I was coaching, man, I needed to find who the leaders in that locker room that where I didn't have to continue to speak, where they stepped up to the plate and said, hey, guys, I'm the leader here in this locker room, and you're going to do what we need to do to get this thing done. So, you know, leadership, I think, is the biggest thing as far as ball players are concerned in the locker room. And then you talk about Vance Johnson, who is that, you know, this is his second year. This was his first time, you know, being a head coach. He has to figure it out. And I think once he figures it out, they're going to be okay. But you know what? Once again, everything's a test. You certainly want the Broncos to do well. I do. And hopefully, man, they'll come around and Von Miller and that defense will come back around and find their way. And that offense will find a great quarterback in Case Keenum with that leadership. That's where I'm going. That leadership is huge. When we lost Peyton Manning, who was a leader, now you bring in, you know, the younger kids, the voice is not that big, guys. So hopefully the leadership, man, is there for these guys.
Rick, before we let you go, remind our listeners what you're doing now.
Well, right now I'm sitting on the couch talking to you guys, man, and loving it. And, but you know, I go around and my wife and I, we do things, a lot of things for Cancer Society, because, you know, I'm fighting leukemia and that whole deal. So my mission for the last 7 years has been to help cancer patients and help families. No family should have to go bankrupt because of cancer. And so we go around doing that, and we have a business called World Vintage Travel, and we just try to travel and enjoy ourselves around the world and build teams and help people, man, make money.
So, Rick, how can our listeners find out more information about you, whether that's, you know, in your business online or it's over social media? How can they follow you?
All they have to do is just go on Facebook, rickupchurch, .com, and go on there and, you know, hit me up, and I'll hit them back.
Well, Rick, we can't thank you enough for taking time out of your night to come back and be a part of the show and share more of your stories and your insights with you. You're fantastic. We hope you'll come back and do it again real soon.
Well, you know, guys, you do a great job. And once again, reaching out to the masses out there, man, you guys keep up the great work. And you guys have a good one, man, this season.
Thank you, Rick.
Thanks a lot.
Take care. All the best to you and your family. We'll catch up soon.
Yes, sir. Take care.
That is former Broncos great Rick Upchurch. And Bob, Rick makes a strong point, you know, and you've been saying this for a long time, not only about Brian Mitchell getting into the Hall of Fame, and you've been a proponent of that, but just the love that the special teams guys don't get and have deserved. You talked about, you know, Ray Guy for a long time before he finally got in, and certainly a guy like Rick Upchurch and Brian Mitchell both deserve to be in the Hall of Fame.
They're such unique talents, Chris, returning kicks, and for people that did it for a long time and did it effectively, sure. And I think Gus Frerotte was the one that told us Brian Mitchell's one of the best all-around football players he had ever been around. So to me, that's a Hall of Famer.